Of course, as part of the letter that we received, the committee wanted to know there been any challenges? If so, how have we resolved them, or how are we resolving them? Chairman, please allow me to put as a reference. The request was to talk about 2011 to 2016. We have, in our presentation, we dealt with, or we prepared from 2010 until 2015. Our apologies because we've not yet concluded 2016. Therefore, unfortunately, we do not have data for rollover, because rollover considerations for 2016 are only due in August. But we'll still keep the 5 years, which is from 2010 until 2015. In terms of the legislative background, the work of rollovers are embedded within requirements of the Constitution of the Republic, Section 216, which largely looks at, or which prescribes that the Treasury must introduce or implement measures that deals with transparency and control in terms of the allocation. The section says that the Treasury must introduce the accounting practice that would guide this budget in terms of reporting, in terms of how they outline their financial statements. Further, the Constitution says that the Treasury must ensure that they are uniform Treasury norms and standards. Section 3 of the PFMA provides that if government fails to send money within a particular year, that there be an adjustment through a rollover process. Again, Section 30 of the Municipal Finance Management Act provides that the power that gets given, and I'll simplify the section, Chairperson, say that the power that gets given to municipality to spend money within a particular year lapses at the end of that particular year. Therefore, what the section says that if a municipality fails to spend money in a particular appropriated year, they can't spend the money in the following year because that power would have ended in that year. Okay? And it says that if you read the section further, it says except maybe an approval to carry over or to adjust the unspent money to the following. Section 28 of the MFMA talks to us, that's what I just said, that you will not be able to spend at the end of that year. You need to then go as a municipality and pass an adjustment budget which allows you to raise your next year's revenue with the money or with the portion that is unspent. Section 22 of the Division of Revenue Act provides that all unspent conditional grants should revert to the National Revenue Fund unless the Treasury permits that those unspent funds be rolled over to the next financial year. Further to that, we have issued as National Treasury various regulations and circulars that begins to provide guidelines in terms of the hard part of asking or requesting for it all over. We started the Treasury regulation, which says that should we approve a rollover that is linked to payment of capital assets, that rollover should be linked to a project that is already in progress. So if you have not yet started as a municipality to implement the project that is linked to a capital asset, we will not be able to approve the rollover. The second issue in terms of the regulation says that savings on transfers and subsidies, which are grants, may not be rolled over for a purpose other than that which has been originally voted for. So in other words, we will not be able to approve a rollover that is linked to a change of scope. That which was initially budgeted for by council, improved by IDP budget and savings development budget and implementation plan, should it not be spent by the end of the year, we would consider approving that saving for that purpose. And the last one is that savings that is linked to compensation or funds may not be rolled over. The understanding is that compensations are benefited throughout the year. If you fail to employ people, why would you want to ask for a rollover into the next year? Because the following year there's a buy for it, so you shouldn't be seen to be double paying for the job, let the money be open to other things. Okay, and finally, OAS has issued various circulars just to support the regulations and the act, various acts in terms of how rollovers should be considered. And through the Division of Revenue Act, it says that any unapproved rollover or any unrequested rollover or any unrequested unspent money should revert to a National Revenue Fund. And this is what we'll be talking about today. The Act, which is the Dora Feather, says that in instances where a municipality has incurred unspent funds and are not able to secure a rollover, such that they are eligible to lose the money, they can request the National Treasury for a permission to repay that money over a period of time. So to avoid money taken all at once. What we've experienced is that if the municipality, most municipalities that would have unspent funds, they may not have the cash in the bank. So if we decide to offset these unspent funds against the official allocations, we are also seen to be complicating their operations going forward. Now, they are then allowed to ask for a payment arrangement. If I can give an example, Chester, this would be in our day-to-day life, where if you're not able to pay them hands or whatever, then you can request that they allow you to pay other than them coming to take over the finish. So you can let understand. Just a bit on the background, although the Division of Revenue Act was established a few years ago, actually prior to the 2004 that I joined the Treasury, this clause was first included in the Division of Revenue Act for the first time in 2004 and 2005. And that preceded the promulgation of the MFMA, the Municipal Finance Management Act, which was in 2003. Now, between the period 2005 and 2008, the Treasury did not invoke the rollover section within the DORA, but did not request municipalities to pay back or further, did not support municipalities to get over. Municipalities would, in their own accord, roll over the funds without permission from the Treasury. And that was something that was wrong. And in 2009, the Treasury, in fact, I must say, Chairperson, this came in then as a parliamentary question, which says, what happens to money that are not spent? The Treasury needs to start to go and collect those unspent money. In 2009, when we did our research, we realized that municipalities are using a host of different systems that inform their day-to-day operations. And because they are an autonomous sphere of government, we do not have access to their system, in the same way as we did or we do with provinces and national government. With regard to the two, they utilize what we call BAS system, basic accounting system, which we have access into. So it's easy for us when they transact the provincial departments, we are able to track what they are spending the money on. Unfortunately for municipalities, we are not, except that we will rely on what they give us on a monthly basis. We then realized that we needed to, as part of a requirement of Section 216, in terms of establishing norms and standards find a way without compromising their autonomy, by standardizing their finances in terms of reporting. And we introduce what we call municipal budget reporting and regulation. Currently, we are finalizing what we call MSCOA, Standard Chart of Account for Municipality. Without these two differences, it has been very difficult to determine what is adequate from the municipality's point of view. And just to add to that is that municipalities are operating on an accrual system of accounting, which says that transactions are only recognized when they are end. Therefore, as opposed to national and provincial government, where we utilize the cash system of accounting, the two numbers always differ. What we thought is expenditure would not necessarily mean expenditure as municipality. So those were difficulties in invoking the rollover sessions from 2004. In our quest to clean the data and to respond to a parliamentary question, we undertook a process, and this is my second last minute of the slide. We undertook a process to verify all historical unspent funds from 2005 until 2009. It was a lengthy process. I was part of that process where we spoke to almost all municipalities. At some stage, we met for 3 months, about 159 municipalities between December and February, just to go through what we thought it was unspent. And they said it was not unspent. As far as they were concerned, they had fully spent the money. And the process was completed in 2011, and it is now an annual occurrence of recalling or considering rollover requests from municipalities. Just to zoom into Section 22, and I think I've already alluded to this, to say that all unspent conditional grants revert to the National Revenue Fund unless they be approved as a rollover. I think the message that the Treasury has been saying with regard to this bullet is that it is important for municipalities to realize that if you don't spend your money, they revert to the National Revenue Fund primarily. In other words, rollovers are not guaranteed. You are subject to a process. So it is best to spend the money in the year that you have been allowed or appropriated into. When we look into unspent funds, we zoom into monthly reports that we receive from universities and national departments. Further, there's a quarterly publication which we call Section 71 that we publish on routine basis. And lastly, we have introduced in the past 3 years and audited financial statements in order to determine or to validate what we get given by municipalities as a rollover. Procedures for applying for rollover, we issued this procedure as part of the circular where we were assisting municipalities in terms of what we must ask as a rollover. And we are saying that all rollover submissions or applications must reach the National Treasury on the 31st of August on an annual basis. Again, this is because municipalities here end in July, and because they are, end in June, and because they are on accrual system, they need to clear all their accounts and their receivables. They are allowed an opportunity to fully clear all their accounts. And we linked this date with the date that they submit their pre-audit financial statement to the Auditor General. The Treasury felt that it would be at that time that we think that they're in a better position. What we've experienced when we use our own pre-quarterly number, they kept saying the numbers that we publish are not the final ones, because we are on accrual, we've not yet paid all our invoices. So therefore, the annual financial statements has become an important tool for us to consider just to close up the process. It becomes a huge issue, Chairperson, if the annual financial statements are disclaimed. Let's continue. As a request to the Treasury, we require a signed letter by the municipal manager, who is referred to as an accounting officer. They must indicate the list of projects that are linked to that particular unconditional grant, and an evidence that work has commenced. Part of that, they must supply us a proof that the project tender was published and that it was done before 30 June. That, in our view, says that they at least have a plan to spend their money in that year. Some writings that 30 June is a bit late, we should maybe move it a bit forward. They must provide proof of the contract that it was signed, that they've awarded the tender, and they need to give us an implementation report on the specific project that they are requesting a rollover on. And of course, they must tell us how much they are asking, because when you deal with the quality and cadence of accounting, you may never know which amount is the right one. So they need to provide us with the exact amount that they are requesting us to permit them. They must explain to us why they have not fully spent the money in that year. What was the problem? Was it raining the whole year, or what has impacted them from delivering? And of course, they must then guide us in terms of their project management time period within which should we allow them to continue, within which they would be fully spent. We then came up with something separate to say, if the office of the accounting does not exist, we would definitely have problems with this money. If the office of the CFO is operating on an acting basis, in our monitoring we realize that you have issues of signatures, payment sign-offs, so we therefore requested that with regard to this money, as you request the rollover as an MM, please indicate to us if the CFO is permanently employed. This is linked to the 5-year contract. When municipalities are asking for a rollover, we want them to cash back these rollovers. The understanding is that if you are saying, I could not spend the money, please allow me to carry on, you should be having that money in the bank account. And we have requested that they classify that unspent cash in the cash flow statement of the municipality. And there's an item called cash and cash equivalents, and we've requested that amount be reflected there. It should also be included in the balance sheet under the item called current liabilities. The committee would know that conditional grants don't belong to municipalities at the point where we allocate to them. They only belong to the municipalities after they've delivered the service or they've built an asset. Then they can then regard the spent money as an asset and they can use it to grow their balance sheet. Therefore, until such a time that conditional grants are not spent, they will remain in liability on their side. Hence, we request that they do a reflect a complementing unspent portion on the current liability, and the cash element of that be reflected in the cash flow statement of the financial statement of the municipality. And the last bullet on this slide, we are saying that as part of the guideline, that municipalities should put this into cognizance that grants should always be spent for the conditions for which they are set for. They must not be invested. We've seen quite a number of scenarios where, in the interest of poor planning, a good CFO would invest the funds. So it's one good thing on the one side, but the community interest against unspent funds. The problem with any interest against unspent funds is that interest at the point where they are at, they are not into any plan. So they could be this interest could be subject to all sorts of problems. The slide on the monitoring of on expenditure, I think this for me is quite an important issue. We work in consultation with the transferring officers. And in the case, in terms of the Minister of Infrastructure grant, we work with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. We have recently done provincial workshops where we have trained provincial departments on how to monitor grants on our behalf. We visited 9 provinces where we met with provincial treasuries and provincial caucus and other departments that are responsible for conditional grants. In those sessions, we would then teach them the process that we've been doing so that they can monitor on our behalf on the ground. What happens, Chairperson, is that rollovers are no longer approved in terms of principle and process at treasury level. We would go to provinces and sit with them, and we, for 2 days, interrogate submissions in terms of those rollovers. We've done it for 2 years. Most provinces are not yet coming onto the party, but Eastern Cape, Popo, and KZN have come quite strongly. They almost are running the process themselves. Once we receive rollover requests, we send it to them. They sit as a team, they evaluate, and then we go over and we assess them for final issues. The reason for that is that the treasury does not generally employ engineers. Therefore, in infrastructure, you need quite a bit of expertise that would assist you to determine whether money spent was for a good cause or not. For example, if you were supposed to buy or procure a pipe, I may not be able to tell which pipe is the right one. I can just look and say this is a pipe and it looks okay. So we therefore rely on the work that provincial caucus and treasuries are supposed to be doing and to support us. I'm going to zoom closely into the number. I don't know if we've got handouts, because it's a bit blurry. If I can take you to, if I can take you to this table, it talks about unspent conditional grants between 2011 to 2014-15, and the first year, 2010, was allocated to the tune of 17 billion. The rollover there was 1.25, which is 1.3 billion rounded off, and the unspent became 453 million. So, as you can see, what this table says is that what was approved as a rollover was not fully spent at the end of the year. It begins to tell us, are we supposed to be approving rollovers, or we're just putting unnecessary pressure on the system in terms of capacity to spend? Now, the trend continues over the years. In the second year, 2011-12, the mean rollover was 1.5. The unspent thereof was, again, each ED at 470. If I must jump to the last year, 14-15, the MEEC was 14 billion, rollover was 654, and unspent 1 billion. Now, just the comparison between the 1 year, 2010, and 2014, is seeing that the MEEC seems to have decreased. In 2011-12, the need was 11 billion. This was after we have taken out the infrastructure funding that was allocated, or that gets allocated to metals, and created a diff- grant called the USDG Urban Settlement Development Grant. Hence, the need seems to have decreased there. And it's growing quite steadily over the years. And what is quite important is that as the rollover is decreasing in 2013-14 and in 2014-15, the unspent is almost double over the period. And we'll talk a bit on that as we carry on. The next slide talks about the rollover of funds for 5 years. These are just total. Again, we, between provinces, we had allocated over the period 71.8 billion, of which 6.6 billion it was reflected as a rollover, and 3 billion was subsequently unspent. The two outer columns, in terms of percentages, talks about the extent of a rollover in a particular province. If you look at the first column, the second last column, we say percentage of allocation to province, and we zoom into KwaZulu-Natal and Mpopo and Eastern Cape. That the percentages say that the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Mpopo are the highest recipients of the meat allocation. As the chairperson added in his opening remarks, the meat is linked to backlog eradication. In areas where there's a huge number of access, a household without access to services, the meat would be going in that direction. It may seem to be skewed in a sense that we are seeing quite a number of people moving and migrating to cities. And the reason why counting is not coming quite strongly is because the mix cities or the USDG is not part of it. So if we were to see that, the picture should be different. So everybody that is sitting in metropolitan areas is not covered in this slide. The last column talks about the extent in which the unspent is realized province. If we look at Limpopo, the 39% and Northwest say that in these two provinces there's a lot of unspent that was subsequently taken away. What that says is that these provinces have lost quite a lot of money. In fact, if we add together, it says that about 70% of the 3 billion that was taken away comes from Limpopo and Northwest. Just to bring it closer, in the Limpopo province, we have three districts that are water service authorities, Vembe, Mopani, and Kukuni. In those areas, there are huge water backlogs there. And if we are taking money away due to unspent, we are not fixing the problem. If we are not taking the money away, we are not fixing the problem either, because in their books, the cash is not there. So it's a bit of a problem. If you go also into the Northwest, there's a district called Ngakamuhiri, Mafikeng, generally known as a dry area, water problems there. There's another district called Bujanala. This is where Brett Omadivane is situated. They receive quite a huge amount of money in terms of meat. And if we keep taking money away, the people are not getting access to services. If we don't take money away, the cash debt, it also disappears. The slide on unspent meat, this slide talks about meat unspent as a percentage of the allocation. The last column, average, we Internationally, we are averaging 4% of unsent funds. This is quite interesting, Chairperson, because when we started with the process some 2 years ago, MIG was spending 77%. Currently, MIG is spending 95%. However, MIG is a huge program. If you don't spend 5% of MIG in figure terms, that equates to about 3.5 billion, between 3.5 or 5 billion. So it's a huge program. So we need to put that in mind. Therefore, the unspent MIG over 5 years averages 4%. And as you can see between provinces, you will see that the Western Cape, there's not much that can be talked about to say, except to say that they've not been using much of the allocation. And what that means is that they are doing well in terms of their coaching process. However, you can see varying numbers between provinces, with the highest again being the Northwest province, and followed very closely at 9% in Limpopo and Northern Cape. Again, in terms of percentage, Northern Cape is coming through. In terms of the allocations, they are not seen because they receive largely smaller allocations. Okay. So even in terms of the graph, in terms of the bars, you see where there are bigger numbers there. You will see that in Limpopo, asset spend is a huge problem. In the Northern Cape, again, in the first year, but Northwest, generally, you can argue that if they had problems in 2010-11, they're not yet out of the woods in terms of the problem of not being able to spend the funds. The rollover slide. Mpumalanga is coming into the picture here in terms of the rollovers. You can look at the graph of Mpumalanga. That number, the bar there belongs to Mbombela and Bushbuckridge in the main. And again, Bushbuckridge, also water problems, huge water problems. Historically, in the past years, they had institutional problems, leadership. In terms of the administration, they have recently appointed a quite competent CFO, and they seem to be doing very well. We've engaged with her for quite a number of times. It seems to be maturing, and hence that part they can see that their rollover, the prospect of their rollover is increasing over time. And Northwest, I think, really a challenge in so much as we do with Limpopo and Northern Cape. In terms of Mpumalanga, in 2011-12, you'll see that the percentage, the rollover percentage, the rollover is the percentage of allocations in 2011. In the province, it averaged 32%. In that year, there was a problem of the building of the stadium. What happened there, Chairperson, is that if I can use this specific example, and the example can be used across all other structures, but is that the municipality utilized the big money to build the stadium. And unfortunately, we did not recognize that expenditure. But the money was spent, and hence, as a result, it caused a bit of a problem for the province generally. They have requested a condonement in a sense that they are arguing that with the building of the stadium, the people around the stadium, there's an area called Matafe, that area now does not have water problems. Therefore, government may no longer need to provide water to those people. So they're saying as much as they were wrong, the people now have water. So it is being considered. COCA is supporting us in this case to say how do we then help them. This issue is not moving away from the financial statement deficit because it remains unspent over the year. It stays there, and when you look into the audit opinion, unless it's resolved, that municipality may never get an unqualified because it's there, that issue. And of course, similarly, if I can use Limpopo as well, because just above Mpumalanga, you can see 23%. We had a big issue there in Mubani district where the municipality used to make money to build about provincial roads. The municipality over 3 years lost close to 400 million that was in our own monitoring misused. So we've been working hand in glove with the province in order to support the municipality, and the mayor has come quite strongly to the treasurer to request support. We have been assisting her, and they seem to be winning. They've managed to fire the MM, who has been there for quite some time, and we've assisted them to even through the legal process. I was asked to come and to testify even in that area. But unfortunately, what it does, the Zanin area at large is not getting out of the woods in terms of this money which was mentioned. Therefore, the rollover could not be approved at that point in time because there was no cash, because the money was used to build provincial roads. Okay, what are the significance of these stricter conditions? We think that by linking the submissions of the AFS for the Auditor General with the approval, with the roll of approval process, we have seen an increased number of annual financial statements submitted to the AG for auditing time. The House will notice that the AG struggles every year to complete its audit. In fact, they complete a year down the line because most municipalities have not concluded a financial statement by the 31st of August. Now, because they are stripped of the cash, they are forced to complete the statement. With that, in a new problem, they are just complying. The municipalities are giving us a special statement that is just for compliance, but there's not much in there. But it has improved the quality of the statement, because we've issued guidelines to say when you do a financial statement, please specifically, as part of a disclosure note in your financial statement, talk about NIC, talk about any other grant that we give. We indicated to municipalities that the dollar is very clear, it tells you how much you're going to get in terms of a specific grant, and when you do your financial statement, tell us how much you spent in NIC, how much you receive and how much you build an asset. Obviously, because the AG monitors the spending of MIG, they are forced to be looking at that. So we think that this has improved the audit outcome of municipalities as an output. Not sure in terms of the outcome, but in terms of the output, we think that it has helped quite a bit. When we started financial statements that were submitted to the AG, on that day, they were averaging 150. They are now averaging 242 in time. There's still some that are struggling because it's just not possible to complete the statement in terms of what you call comparables. If they don't have information from the previous year in terms of the AFS, which was not done, the CEO would not be able to do the statements, unfortunately, because they need to do comparables. In other words, compare what happened from the previous year, opening balance, and so on. But we think that the process has, however, achieved the following. It has instituted compliance in terms of the Internal Revenue Act. Likely, there was no compliance in the name by the municipalities. They will spend their NIC as they saw it fit, and we will not even be in a position to ascertain what NIC was spent on due to their inability to access their systems. And it has improved accountability with municipalities. They are now able to say, tell them we will protect the NIC, because we know that it is quite an emotional grant. If you fiddle with it, it becomes a problem. But it has overall improved. It is 95%. I think one of the big questions is 95% of what? But the spending pattern, they NIC 95% from 77 average 4 or 5 years ago. And overall improvement in terms of the compilation of the financial statement. If we were to share with you a few statements in 2010, they are very say that it would not, the balance sheet doesn't balance in the financial system, but it has been financed by the hands. The income statement does not talk to the cash element. And so on and so forth. With that guidance, due diligence is being given to financial statements in terms of preparation. Because what we say to them is to say, if you're saying you have an unspent, we want to see your financial statement. And this is the very statement that the AG looks at. So they can't reflect an expenditure, such that they're still an asset if they can't show it to the AG. So it's putting them a bit in the corner, and I think it's improving the system. Challenges. Non-submissions of annual financial statements. If we don't have financial statements at the rollover assessment level, we can only rely on monthly reports. And because they are on a accrual system of accounting, they will say that expenditure does not recognize other invoices. Therefore, we have spent more than you think, or we do not spend as you reflected it in your system. So if we don't have financial statements, our decision to roll over unspent funds or to reject them could be wrong. But unfortunately, because of the process, we've got to continue with what we have, and unfortunately, we also don't have access to their system. So if they don't help us, we've got to do with what we can. They do not sufficiently motivate a rollover. We can't tell what project is this, and this was picked up by the provinces where they said, especially, you are approving wrong projects. This project that you are approving never existed. In fact, some are saying you funded them a few years ago, and this, with the support of provinces, COPSAS and Treasury, were able to say, to go through the actual motivation. Municipalities are restating financial statements. They are allowed in terms of law by the AG, but when they do that, it delays the audited statements because they then go back and restate the numbers. When they do that, we would have completed our process. In 2013, we then said, should you restate your financials, we will go back and change our decision on the rollover to approve or not. Then subsequently, we will then approve in March or February. Then they don't spend the money. They said, well, you've approved late treasures. There was no way in which you could spend this money. So we argue that pre-audit financial statements are final in terms of the municipality. They are audited because the AG has to run a process, but you do not submit as a municipality pre-audit statements in order to change it. Because they keep, this is what they're doing. Grants are not properly disclosed. If we can't see performances of MIC in the statement, we may reject the rollover, even if you've got a legitimate case, because we don't know. Unspent funds are not cash-backed. There are municipalities that are showing negative bank balance, but they're also showing unspent money. In the books. The issue of treatment on interest, debt, and retention gets included in the unspent or in the rollover amount. We have been saying for many years now to municipalities that please don't treat interest or debt or retention. Retention is money that you keep and until the contract has completed the work, then you can release that 10% or so. We are saying that money should never be returned as a rollover. We are saying that you receive from us as an input, please don't treat it as a rollover, because then if we say no, you are losing out, because that input is a result of work done. If you deliver, you can then claim that which you would have paid for the contract, you can claim it from SARS. But if you didn't, if you include it in the financial statement, it is regarded as unspent money. So we've requested them, we've given them guidance on how to treat it in terms of the ledger account and T account, but they still do that regardless. Reporting on approved rollovers, this is a big problem. We have separated our rollover approvals against the normal current year allocations because we wanted to follow that project that was moving. They don't report on it. If they did, they would include it in the normal current year allocation. So it becomes a bit of an issue. We are training them. We've done workshops about a month ago in April, and we'll be doing another workshop now in July just to prepare ministers. Late submissions of rollover. If we don't receive a rollover and we don't get your and we don't receive your financial statements, it means we must go to our monthly report and see whatever that is reflected as unspent, then that becomes unspent money. Because we didn't ask for it, it's a bit of a problem. So they then come late to say the CFO was suspended, nobody was in the house, and please allow us. So we like to stick with the deadline because we run the process. There's 278 municipalities, the gym is not in a position where they can keep redoing the exercise. I think our biggest challenge, chairperson, is that we need to improve in terms of our ability to monitor projects on the ground. We've done a bit of site inspection in the Eastern Cape and Northwest, and largely what was on paper was not found on the ground. So that's the challenge going forward. And a rollover of a rollover. In terms of the regulations and the circulars, we don't approve a rollover of a rollover. The understanding is that when you requested a rollover, you must have said to us, I have contracted, contractors are on site, the work is undergoing, I've got commitments, therefore please approve, and if you don't, you're causing problems. Now, if you still don't spend the money the following year, it means you want us to permit you to spend money given to you in 1 year, in the third year. So it means that we're planning today to spend 3 years later. The problem with our minister is that we borrow spots, meaning we borrow today for today. We can't afford to borrow 6 months money today in terms of interest. So we've agreed with the Reserve Bank that what is adopted is during the budget day, we will withdraw it on a monthly basis. So if we withdraw it today and give it to municipality via quarter today, and it gets spent 3 years down the line, that's a bit of a problem. We could be spending money on interest than on paying interest on the loan than on the actual problem. The media measure, I'm not sure if this is very helpful, Chairperson, bullet number one. We are saying that if you're not able to spend the money and you are not in a position to spend the money, not that you don't want to, allow us to rather take the money away from your municipality and give it to the one that is moving further, preferably in your district, province, that if it's not possible, we'll have to take the money elsewhere. Where we are sitting as treasury, our concern is to show meat performing. Provinces must protect their meat. And district likewise. We recently reintroduced a system of rechanneling the money via the district municipalities, and I'll share two examples. when we had problems in Makana, the problem was in the CFO's office. Money got lost in that office. However, the technical director of Makana was performing. Every time we submit the invoice for the CFO, he doesn't get paid because there's no money. Then we said, let's go to Sarapatna as a district to say, please help us to channel the money via you. The contractor is on that, and we need to keep paying him. We think he's waiting because Sarapatna had a strong team. Kakas had a strong team, and it's been working very well. Basically, Dad wants to do it for Mafude. We are supporting them. Waterbeck has done it once on behalf of Tarazini, where they need to be, because they are huge problems there as well. And we can't have Nidupi not happening because of Tarazini. So we've channeled the money through Waterbeck. So we think that perhaps we need to start to think in that way. But with regard to your big water service authority district, like Mubani, Fembe, Nakamujiri, Northwest, we then need to think the other way around. Can we then move money away from them and give it to their local in terms of the flow of money? The interesting arrangement with this particular district is that the work is still done by locals anyway on behalf of the district, though they have water. We still have service level agreement challenges and scope between the locals. This is what the Minister of Water Affairs has been trying to assist us with to resolve the issues. We would like to also convert the allocation from going directly to municipalities and via and channel them via the department that is responsible. If you look at COCTA, they have a vehicle called MISA, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. We would like to find a way if that can be a route, especially just a money channeling exercise, but also in senses where they can support with capacity. In the Mpumalanga and Northwest, they've come up with other agencies that can come in on board. In Mpumalanga, I think the agency was shocked in terms of the response, because that agency is now underperforming. I mean, countries are saying we want our money back. So, but we, in our struggle to protect the money, these are the levers we begin to. And we continue to issue budget circular. Personally, I've been training provincial departments, traveling around to help them to in terms of the support, because they're very close to municipalities. And we brought also what we call MFIP, MMIP, these are municipal finance. These are experts that would place in municipalities to say, go and support the CFO for a period of time, just to help them to construct the financial statement, to make sure that they have the financial statement. And the case in point in Sweden, where we took one of our experts to sit in the municipality and assist the CFO just to complete the financial statement. And just to avoid, in instance where we fail to approve for a rollover and to avoid to take the money, we still say if there's someone in the house in the municipality, let them come on board so that we don't take the money away. Let us arrange on their behalf and to give them money. I think the other issue that I just want to raise in my closing remark, Chairperson, is that when we stop money that could not be rolled over or when we offset it, we are not saying that we cancel the project. And the president has been saying we are destabilizing the system by taking money away. The intention behind that is that when we stop the money, we are saying you are not able to spend this money in any end. So we want to protect this money that it does not become subject to other things, allow us to take this money elsewhere. So in other words, it is the responsibility of Treasury and Boxer to still take back this money to Mbali, to Matamudiri, to Amatole. When they are ready, it is in our interest, because we should not be saying stop all the money, stop projects. We're saying if you don't spend, if you don't stop this money, you're going to be seen as under performing, or then you're going to dump the money. And that was my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mashab, for the presentation. Honorable members, that's a comprehensive presentation, simplified interpretation on the applicable legislation on the MIG all over, and concluded with the areas of challenges and some proposed measures that the committee must hold. So can we deal with these issues? I'm just interested from Treasury itself to get a sense. If we were to the theme that the Minister of Finance articulated in the budget policy statement was conscientizing the country of the current global and domestic economic outlook, which is not very favorable, and that moving more on fiscal consolidation, that we should do more with less, and meaning all institutions, the state and the state capacity to plan and execute its mandate with the minimal resources that are at its disposal. I think was an issue that the minister was really articulating. So I'm in the fear of downsizing. What then becomes a treasury holding really? Is there something that is changing that is much more authoritative to ensure that other institutions' capacity to execute? So I'm simply saying, because I know that there is legislation, there are provisions. For instance, maybe if you think of MFMA, if we were to apply all provisions at some point, because officials have got an obligation to provide reports that are accurate and reports that reflect on the real situation. So in an event where reports are seen either in a council or to national treasury, or the mayor calls the mayor of council, there should be consequences, because these are public documents. There should be consequences in the event that it is found that they are inconsistent with the truth, the report at the table. So the obvious question would be, has Treasury exhausted some of these things? Have you really ascertained that the position of the Act was alive, but there are some challenges mentioned? Just to kick up. So members, can we talk? I'm just saying, just playing the issue that it's not business as usual. So what is it that should be done? It's your time now. It's your turn. Honorable Issa, it's your turn. Honorable Eshal, I'm coming to you. And then Honorable Jarablanj. Zimande, Sunukulumawa. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Northwest will be the last. Northwest is not doing well. Limpopo is not doing well. Any chronic problems of planning there and implementation. Serious problems. Okay, Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. National Treasury, thank you for a detailed presentation. This has been very interesting thus far. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to bear with me a little, but this doesn't happen often, but I really need to interrogate a few issues. On the presentation, that is the white copy I have here, if we can just scroll over to page 2, where you in bold explain in the middle of the page, no rollover requests will be considered for municipalities with vacant or acting chief CFOs and municipal managers for a period exceeding 4 months. ask very simply, how serious are you? Okay. On the same page, if you go down to bullet number four, on the paragraph number three, bullet number four, the last one, and those circumstances of National Treasury approved the entire allocation. My question there is, what if they've spent 40%? Okay, if you recapture that question. Because you talk of 50%. My question is, how does National Treasury handle it if 40% has been spent? Okay. Then we move to your presentation that is the on the slides. So, President, thank you. Quickly, page 8, slide, I think slide number 8, I might call it that, slide number 8. Under bullet point B, proof that a contract for delivery of the project was signed before 30 June. My question here arises because lots of times we come across technicalities. I've seen it happen. What if municipalities sign a contract on the 21st of June, full well realizing the ramifications if, of course, they do not sign the contract and lose out on the MIG grant? Because obviously, you ask, under point E, that progress report on implementation of each of the projects should thus be supplied or given. But if I, as NM or CFO, decide, well, look, I don't want to lose out here, and I sign this contract on the 21st, I'd just like to hear your opinions on that. Then to move on to slide number 9. If you look at your clause, when considering rollover requests from municipalities, all unspent cash that grants should be classified only as cash and cash equivalents. I must ask of you then, the unspent cash obviously must be reflected. But many small municipalities have cash flow issues, as you well know. And you are fully aware that many municipalities are obviously funding operational expenses from the money on a month-to-month basis. And therefore, you are getting these continuous risk payments from the AG. How then does international treasury deal with this expeditiously? Because it is on many occasions when we're 6 months into the next financial year, National Treasury is still busy then trying to resolve previous financial year issues. So I'd like a comment on that. And then on slide number 10, National Treasury requires the municipalities must report separately on the spending of conditional grant funds that are rolled over. Very simply, I must ask you, is this really happening? And then, Chairperson, lastly, second lastly, on slide number 16, the issue of retention. I'd just like to ask you from you, why should this not be included? Because obviously retention is part of the contract and part of an expense. I just want to get clarity, why should the retention side not be included? And then, currently, how does National Treasury handle late submissions, and what is your response to this? Or are you going to continue condoning this like so many occasions in the past? And then finally, Chairperson, on the remedial measures, does National Treasury believe that the rechannel the money via the district municipalities? Does National Treasury honestly believe that this is a good solution or the best solution? Or is it just passing the buck again? Because let's be honest, many of our district municipalities also are non-performing. And then finally, Chairperson, allow for repayment arrangements unable to repay immediately. My question here is, why? Why, sir? With municipalities experiencing huge ESCOM debts, interest accrued on a month-to-month basis, on various other payments that municipalities have to make. My question is then, how will these municipalities then be able to cope financially and yet be able then to still deliver basic services if they're having to contend with these challenges? So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just for the Treasury, the equipment, the first which that was referred to, an internal document for the committee initiated through the search lead of the committee. But I think if you want to comment broadly of the issues that are raised, you're welcome. but our pleasure in the committee can as well speak to some of the issues that are raised here.
Yes.
So, Honorable Members, I'll propose that you note and then we'll give you the issues. Because they are overlapping with the questions that have.
Chairperson, thank you. I also want to just refer back to slide number 8. And the question or the issue regarding the proof that a contract for the delivery of the project was signed before the 30th of June. I just want some clarity on how are you also strictly apply this to capital works. The reason I'm asking, obviously, you know, capital works can only be done on a multi-year sort of a basis. And quite often the planning is only sort of done or ready or documentation to go out on tender is only available at a later stage. And I'm just worried that this it might be, you know, hampering, you know, the execution of the project if you are applying this also strictly to capital works. And maybe I don't understand exactly what you guys are doing. So I just want a response on that. Chairperson, and then the second question that I have, going to slide number 14, first of all, I think from now on, I'm going to carry this document in my briefcase because I will use this in future now, you know, in the NCLB. The reason being, I'm glad to see that my talent is really performing now, outperforming everybody else, and, you know, the dispute has not been settled apparently. Coming back to the under expenditure of some of the other provinces, I really think that now I'm so serious. This was just on the light note.
Yeah, I was worried that you are not launching the manifesto yet. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, no, thanks very much. I believe you.
Now, on a serious note, Chairperson, I'm not concerned that serious underspending some of this provinces. My concern is, or my question is, what is the problem there, first of all? And secondly, what are we doing to rectify it? You know, because we are having communities there that are without certain services. And my question is, we need to do something to ensure that people will have the ability, first of all, to spend their money. And, you know, we need to ensure that it's going to be spent in the future. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we appreciate this thorough presentation. Myself and Mr. Sello, from a long way, dealing with the live deployment and all the hiccups and headaches we had, but we're getting somewhere, we're going forward. And thank you for your assistance, not only referring to Commissar, but to other municipalities like Nala, etc. We appreciate that. Chairperson, Mr. Sama, in his address to slide 10, he made a remark, not all provinces are coming to the party. Unpack that one. Which provinces are not coming to the party? I'll tell you why I'm asking the question when I'm finished. Secondly, on slide 11, said, indicating the unspent meat, looking to slide 13 as well, and then going on to slide 16. Slide 16, the second last bullet, unable to verify expenditure against group projects on the ground. I take members back to the public hearing we have on the fiscal framework where Professor Janet Assou made his input and referred to measurable deliverables. That's what we have to focus on. And that brings me to the point of our oversight chair, that we are now engaging in a series of meetings with the provincial treasurers. Members must take note of what has been presented today, and we carry that into our meetings with the provincial treasurers. Why? Because it's quite expensive to bring those provinces back to Parliament with their team to come and appear before us. So we actually managed to do it two or three or four in one to be effective and efficient. So I just want to mention that. Lastly, then, the encouragement by the portfolio committees on finance and legislators, as well as often, dealing with court reports, they will have to beef up their mechanisms in terms of their oversight, because this has to be addressed when you deal with a department's court report. Monitoring municipalities, finance, treasury, provincial treasury, monitoring municipalities. There must be integrated approach to address this. That you don't pick it up only at the end of each financial year and say, yeah, but here's our problem. You should have picked it up early in the financial year. Lastly, Jay, that we in our program that sets for this year also accommodate our oversight over metros. Why? Because I referred to an article coming to the Western Cape on the bus. Minister May redirected Clement Unspent grant allocations. I'm waiting that this can come to the Northern Cape, Mr. Nishaba, because we need it. To build houses, but that's on the lighter note that I'm making my point. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Honorable Man.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I also take the opportunity to appreciate the presentation and being the last one, the committee, Chair, and coming from COP. You know, it's I learned a lot, and it reminded me of the little campaign Mr. De Beers had in the fall term, trying to get COPTA paying particular attention to issues of budget and budget and allocation and appropriation, and the importance of the two committees from time to time converging. And I think the presentation makes that emphasis. You know, they go and monitor municipalities on the basis of what has been presented as a breakdown in governance, so to speak. But the breakdown and instability in municipalities anchors a lot on the financial management and service delivery. So, I would like to get clarity on, firstly, the Mr. Marshall said that the figures excluding metros. So that's just a little question, it might be a common sense question, but I think it's important for a note. The figures then of they say KZN, Eastern Cape, Bloemfontein would, phrase it. Are they then excluding the metro places, just all the districts in the province, but not the metro? That's a correct understanding that picture is just confined to the districts in those provinces that have metros. Because his emphasis was on Gauteng being, you know, that's why the whole picture of the province is affected by the numbers of municipalities. The second term is the issue on the, I think it's on the section on Remedial Challenge, if I recall it correctly, where he made an example of Makana and Sarawakma, where they had to rechannel the funds to a competent district to assist the local municipality. And my question, Chair, is you know, to because we've seen in the last term, not so much this this year, but in the first two years of the fifth term, we saw a lot of interventions, and most of it to one governance, but it's also to do with the finance. Those total interventions, 139, not your 136 and your other financial support administered for 154, all of that. But the big one, 139, 1B, it's not only simply because of the breakdown in governance, but they also relate and affect hugely the capacity and the ability to deliver services and enhance your issues of water and money that are missing and forensic audits that are being taken and all of that. So the question is to say, if there are interventions, some districts had interventions and teams are put in place, does the arrangement amenable to that? Akamudira has been in interventions for almost 2 years now. Now, during the intervention, you put a team, and that team had to bring the municipality to sound financial situation. So the question then is that would this arrangement, or would this compatible to that? Do you do it that way? And that would also talk to what you were weighing there, whether local municipalities, whether that could be another side of a coin, where municipalities, the LMs, that are doing well better than the districts, that best you'd go to that. So I think a good emphasis or underscoring there to assist for my my better understanding. And obviously, I was going to ask a question, but I think you touched on it. It's a question on that you now take the pre-audits. I think I welcome that you take pre-audits as final and not to be changed, so that the students are not doing any financial expediency, trying to beat the systems. But also that you also do take note of empty financial statements, and so on a lighter note, not in response to Terrence, Honorable Terrence, that some financial statements might be sound and for compliant purposes and showing and demonstrate some nice good governance or also good whatever municipal running whatever they is being, but it's on a lighter note. Thanks.
No, I'll summarize the question, but most importantly, Mr. Mashaba captured the comment made by Mr. Simandi. Honorable Mutara and Mashukin, please guide me. Do you want to say anything? Okay. Honorable Mutara, please don't provoke Honorable Simandi. Yes, Honorable Mashukin.
No, Honorable Mashukin, I'm not in a good state of health. Now, this idiot is going to behave in every time. Now, Honorable Chair, I take note of the fact that the Northwest province is not performing well. And the last report on media expenditure that we had was that there was a movement, and it was getting and moving in the right direction. However, I take note of the fact that provincial treasurers are invited and will engage with them. So I'm not doubting the authenticity of the information presented today. However, we need to verify as to where the problem lies, and I think the province will be able to give us their side of the story. Thank you.
Okay. Now then, Mr. Mashaba, I think the last point that Mr. Zimande was making was based, I think, on the earlier statement that the rapid challenge of urbanization and what is it, the grant or what settlement here that is with where concentration of people is metros and so forth, Cape Town, Tshwane, eThekwini. We also fall under category, Mangaung. Yeah, we are a big province, and there's a big city here, Mangaung, Bloemfontein. So I think that was the issue that members should understand, that the MIG is concentrated on where there's huge backlog in terms of basic services. And in South Africa, three provinces are known to constitute three huge backlogs, Eastern Cape because of large rural parts, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu, and Limpopo. So I think that's the point that I was putting in context, because you may say almost 72% of the people in Cape Town are concentrated in Cape Town. But I think it poses a similar but different challenge in a different context. So I think that's rather allowing pressure to deal with the comments and the questions that are raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ascertain every question before I respond, just to make sure that I'm addressing it correctly. The first one was dealing with the issue that came from one of the ministers' speech in terms of doing more with less. I think, Chairperson, let me start in terms of the principle. I think that consequence management is a subject that should be linked with performance argument, and therefore, and it, that requires the zeal and point of the leader to effect that. We've seen that where you have the municipal manager and the CFO working together, municipalities thrive. More so if the mayor, the representative for council, is very close to the MN, we've seen fruits. However, I think that we can't say we've exhausted all measures to deal with challenges that are embedded within local government. I think that we continue to look for better avenues. Local government is not cast in stone, and I think it deserves the respect in that accord. We need to understand the environment. I mean, most of us, I mean, I'm included, we need to grow in understanding the dynamics of local government. I think that it's not enough to sit in Treasury Pretoria and do a desktop study on local government. We need to do more. I have asked my boss at some stage to say, please allow me to employ engineers. He refused. He said, well, what I try to say, we are not in the business of centralization. You've got to provide your leadership well to other departments as they do their job. So there's a part I must do, and there's a part that they must do. If you have a situation where you call, the House would call Treasury and COCTA, and I'm saying this with all respect, and in terms of presentation, you both present around transfers and amount spent, then we have a problem. We can't all be doing one thing. Someone must come and talk about flows of money, someone must talk about the economy, someone must come and talk about project D and project B and so on and so forth. And that separation of responsibilities, I think it's quite important. But I don't think that we've exhausted our avenues. I think the one thing we cannot do, Chairperson, and I think perhaps a witness, is the ability to influence the one CEO government or the external person sense of good culture or sense of wanting to do what you are supposed to do, I think that's a bit of a that you can only do as much. And this is the, I'm saying this chapter with all respect and appreciation of the department that are assisting us quite a lot. How serious, number two, how serious are we with the issue of the CFO? I was afforded the opportunity to get the white document. This comes from my unit, so I'll just comment a little bit, so I'm quite fully aware of everything. I'll allow the team. So we 2 years in a row. The first year we've issued signals to say if you don't have a CFO, we will not approve your rollover because we don't know who will spend the money. And then those that do not have CFO, they owe to us and we accommodated them. Last year we refused. We said no CFO, no money. And it was hard, but we kept that. And I'll share specific issues a bit later. However, it was done in context. If you have a CFO that has been sitting in the municipality for argument's sake, 10 months the financial year, and he gets suspended in May, you can't use that as a tool to punish the municipality. So, and hence the importance of provinces, they will share with us today. We know the CFO, he has become into our forum. He was suspended. Therefore, that's why they don't have a CFO. And that's why we do only sit for 2 days in each province. They share with us some of these things. Some CFOs don't attend. And there, we look at the province. As they look away, we also say, well, we've got a principle, we've got guidance. Guidance by themselves are not law. They are just signaling to us that should you not follow the guidelines, you might fall into trouble. That's why we have secular assembly. The issue of 50% on spend, the team will add on that, but I put that 50% in there myself. So we are saying that the Division of Revenue Act provides that, and I will also touch on the issue of the multi-year plan as a question that was raised. The Division of Revenue Act provides that 8 months before the financial year starts, municipalities must have already lined up projects for implementation, number one. It also says, and it's very clear in the framework, it also says that you must have already started to procure in terms of the committees to fit, the B specification committee, B adjudication committee, and the B, but those things must already be sitting and happening so that if the problems in terms of committees not sitting, let alone not existing, when you get to July, the beginning of the financial year, you know what won't work. Because it's clear people couldn't sit, there wouldn't be any expenditure at all, except otherwise. So, and we've been preaching these things to say, 8 months before the start of the financial year, you must have, there is nothing wrong. And this we say to our provinces, to tell them, there's nothing wrong to award future. To say, here the letter, we are awarding you contract fee, you're going to start in July. It's as simple as that. They can say, no, I can't, I refuse the tender that I've been awarded because you say I must start it. You know. But secondly, the NIC allow that you can use this year's allocation to plan for next year. You can use 10% or whatever to plan for next year. So it's in that. So we then say, if you're having to add a rollover to the treasury, which is 50% of the total allocation, we're saying, tell us in terms of your project management, CFO or treasurer, show us your grant chart. You're scaling. Where is this 50% a year ago? What happened? You're saying 50% of the chance of the time you didn't work. 40% and 50% are just by this, are just by the same number of a person like me as an economist. I arranging the same. We look in context, we look into and we ask provinces to say, where are they, these people? So we are very flexible in terms of how we look into our guidelines and fixes.
But the team will talk to that. The issue in terms of 25th of June contract signed, again, if we receive that, then we have received it. Chapter 7, we've received, and I just mentioned a few municipalities, where you can see that the balance of the unspent money is linked to to copies of projects that are all dated the same day in May or in June. You can clearly see that they were sitting and they were just awarding. So those kind of things, you look at them, we flatly reject them outright. Clearly, there's no plan. All what we say in our letter of response, we say these projects are ready for implementation in the new year. Therefore, no approval. You've got meeting in the new year that is keep acting. We want to protect you to show good expenditure the following year because you seem to have planned for the following year. And then we will approve in accordance with that. How do we deal with cash problems? The MFMA, section 6 or 7 of the Municipal Finance Management Act provides that municipalities must identify a primary bank account that it will be used as that will use to transfer funds to it, and that gets adopted in custody. When we transfer the money, if we were doing our job best, the law says we must transfer the money in accordance to the payment schedule. Payment schedule is the cash flow drawdown plan. I don't think we're doing that. I think that we receive a schedule of some sort from municipalities, from municipalities, from provinces. Some of the schedules you can see was an amount divided by 12 months, though it's a capital program. We try by all means to look into that benchmark, cross rough reference analysis, and begin to give them the allocations going forward. I don't think we've made that problem. I think that we give municipalities money where they are not ready to spend, and informed by that they mentioned. We need to do in-depth analysis in terms of how we predict what they require. We need to focus on that. Currently, we are busy doing what we think is mere monitoring and compliance. We've not dig deep into what we've been employed to do, which is the analysis from Treasury's point of view, because we're trying to get people to do the basics. But we are almost behind time to be moving into the prediction analysis. We can go from that. And with the help of provinces, I think we can start to focus on the work at hand. Therefore, except that if we don't pick it up at the planning level, at the payment schedule level, we then must monitor this cash as and when must release it. Dollar allows that we can withhold and so on and so forth. It has got its own challenges. Municipalities are saying, we saw your payment schedule, we then contract it. If it's not coming, we've got problems. We debate the whole thing that to say you can't pay if they've not delivered. Our municipality is a paying contractor to buy materials, and materials get dropped on the ground. And sometimes it's done push expenditure to report expenditure because they realize that we're not looking at projects. We're improving in the industry. The issue of separate reporting, is it happening? Yes, it's happening. I would say it's happening 60%. Once we approve a rollover, together with the letter of rollover, we issue a reporting template. And we indicate in this letter that please, as you report to us, report to COCTA as well. Municipalities are beginning to hear that because we use it to approve rollovers going forward. So it's happening, we just need to strengthen that. Question number 7, retention. Why should it not be included? We are saying that if you subject a retention or if you subject retention money to the rollover process, you are linking money that has got nothing to do with performance
with the rollover prospects. What I'm saying is that if you've achieved 90% of your job, all of it left, which is the 10%, is not the 10%, the unspent 10% as a result of job not done. It's the unspent 10% that is linked to what you call verification. It is linked to certification of payment.
Thanks, Honorable Members. We are so much interested in our guests here. Bye-bye, guests. Thanks very much for visiting us. We... so... No, I could see you. I don't know how concentrating now. Yeah, I know how to say hi. So, yes. This is a study for whoever is in Parliament must see how Parliament functions. Okay.
Thanks. So, as I was saying, that we felt that should we subject the retention, if the municipality then fails to submit annual financial statement, as that we say, not their rollover, which includes retention, then we could be punishing the municipality that was following engineering protocol of safeguarding the money. One particular example is if I'm building my house and I've employed a local house builder, I need to keep some money because then he might not come back if he's got all the money. So there's a bit of, you need to, that doesn't say he can't deliver. We're just saying until you run, it's guaranteed type of money and we don't want to subject it to a rollover process. How do we handle late submissions? In terms of procedure, the Treasury continues to deal with everybody as an institution and we run processes. Therefore, no late submissions are considered. Let me share an example with the City of Johannesburg. They had reflected an unspent public transport infrastructure grant money to the tune of 450 million. In their financial statement. Now, the Office of the CFO, against pressure of submitting to the AG, he then did not pay the bigger chunk of that money, of 450, to contractors. The work was done. And he then issued the AFS was done, but the cash was put there, which is equivalent to the work. But because it's a big city, you can't see that the cash is not there. Other municipalities, if you don't spend the money and it's being utilized, it's not there. But for them, they've got, their balance sheet is huge. So what we then did was to say, Lobeck, no rollover approval because of the financial system and the fact that it came late. Then the technical director called us to say, I see that you are saying you're going to take money away from us. I have spent that money. That was the technical director. Then we said, define what you're saying. He said, the way is that. CFO said, well, I could pay it. He didn't say I didn't have money. He said I couldn't pay it in time. I had hoped that the technical director will realize that work done but not paid for qualifies as a rollover. So they then had to go and redo the financial statements. I don't know how they got through to the AG, but they were allowed to restate what was unspent in their books, 400 something million, to become 80 something million. We have refused. As it stands, Lobeck lost that money. Because they are big, they have financed it, I suppose, because they have not closed shop. But the 2.4 billion that we've given back to the Metal Revenue Fund includes that money. And the minister was very happy because we had to finance the wage bill last year and all that. So the money is being used to good use, unfortunately for Joburg, for the bus rapid transit program. So we stick to the principle, unfortunately. So if they miss the boat, it's a problem. I must say that the instances where it's so hard, like in the Northern Cape, if you stick to the principle, you're really causing a huge problem because they close down. And the treasurer would then request the mayor to come over to the treasurer, then we take them through the process and explain and still stick to the principle of saying we can't change the decision, lest it become a precedent. However, we'll help you in future. Just go and show what you can do and then we'll help you in the future. It's a tough decision because some people would then be suspended as a result. The channeling of money is a good solution because some districts are as bad as locals. Obviously, if it's not working, we don't do it. We do it, we will assess the district themselves. If we use Waterbeck as an example, they did not have a PMU unit. PMU stands for Project and Management Unit, where they run projects. But the strength of the attache has come so much on board that we're able to help La Vela, which was subject to 216 together with Nara 3 years ago. La Vela has now received additional big money and they are now receiving the money directly to their bank account, not via Waterbeck. They've come out of the woods. We've now introduced Tabazimbi to be supported by Waterbeck. What we need to guard against is to then build capacity in Waterbeck and continue to disregard Tabazimbi, because we actually need to facilitate Tabazimbi, because that way the water safe authority functions like. So these are some of the things that probably would then assist us to say we shouldn't get Waterbeck to be carried away, because they are now enjoying the responsibility. Over time, we should get the team to move over to Tabazimbi to assist. Repayment arrangement, why do you do that? And if that adds to the cost. Unfortunately, we have different scenarios in different occasions. We have said in treasury that we actually have never seen the bad people, Shepherdson. Every time we see good people. Now, if good people are coming to say, we've just been brought in, please help us. We need to find a way to help them. Then they go, they, if I can use the word, they mess up, they don't come back. So we never see the bad people. So then the council brings new ones and they say, these are the new people. We think they are going to be on board. How do you help them? And unfortunately, we need to have options available, including the ones to say, okay, because you are new, you are an institution, you shall account for the sins of your former people, but we'll help you with the repayment arrangement. We can't change answers, but we'll help you with the repayment arrangement. The issue of applying the rollover to capital grants over multi-year, if we're not causing the problem. In my studies, I've learned a lot about the so-called S-CAF. S-CAF doesn't hold all the time. You've got to plan things, especially if it's multi-year. Okay, because if it's multi-year, there must be a stage where you are in full swing of expenditure. Like SAV currently, they are in full swing. So along the way, and as you start to move to spending that type of upsteep curve or line, you then you need to keep bringing the planning element for next year, planning element for next year, planning element. So therefore, the argument to say December is a good month and January people are coming, February doesn't change anymore. So you've been having these numbers ever since, so you know that you're not going to spend. Therefore, don't plan to spend money in December, such that we give you money in December. So if we don't give you money, your performance will be linked to what we've given you already. So plan in such a way that you know you're going to spend. So they keep using that. So we'd be saying, even with capital program, capital program, and I, if you must construct a wastewater treatment plant, which takes 2 years to construct, in terms of project management, you schedule your activities. You will write down all activities from mortar to actual switch on of the waste treatment plant. So what you do, because MINC is for that reason, you take from the location that you have as MINC and begin to link this money with your activities. You cost them. And this will be a problem for people who are getting paid for the waste. So you cost these activities against timeline and process and link it to what we call a Gantt chart, which is a chart which shows where you will be at a particular point in time. If the one part of your activity falls in terms of timeline in the following year, that option gets taken up by next year's money. So therefore it can't be that you are saying I could not spend because it's a capital program. We are saying don't link this year's money with next year's work. And in case terms, there are so many programs by engineers that can run these things for them. Question number 12 of 80 questions. What is the problem in understanding municipalities? Why do they continue to do that? Let me give an example, and how do we support them? I've given an example of Mubani. We've gone in there, we're holding them by the hand. We were saying, we created a committee in Mubani, and we said, we will not give you money as you would prefer, CEO. You will be managed from Treasury's point of view. We've been managing Mubani like that. The CFO would do what he say he must do. We must end in love with COXA in the province and COXA national. We think it's dealing with truth. Unfortunately, what has happened, the entire supply chain management unit of Mubani has been suspended, all of it. So no one can control anything as a result of this problem. Everyone in Mubani has been, in terms of supply chain, has been suspended. We brought in MISA. We've used a company that was assisting Waterbank for the Navila to go in there and assist. So they are working hand in hand with the mayor. The mayor is recently appointed in her opinion a competent CFO who's now able to run things. So we're looking to those. I suspect, but they are no longer in the municipality, obviously. Let me give an example with the MM. The MM was obviously on the payroll up until 2 months ago when it was, in terms of the disciplinary committee, that he be fired. So he's currently fired as we speak. But these are the dynamics. Now, what becomes the problem for Mubani is that how do they prepare for next year? And Mubani is the fifth largest municipality in the country, which tells you they are that huge in terms of problems, in terms of backlog. So every year we take money away. This year they've declared 212 million. They can't spend it, and it's not really a crisis where they're sitting because they have 450 million to be worried about and they don't have rights. So I can project that I need to shift that money. We need to move into it. And where we're saying, let's get someone else to do the job. We need to stick to the law to allow for that. Quickly, that way, we've put a deploy in there. They've been losing money. Skukuni, there's a committee that was formed and is led by, I think, Umama Yanza is always part of that committee. There's quite a number of people that are going in Skukuni just to support. There's a chief director in Kota that is hands-on daily to support Skukuni. The issue with Skukuni is that they've got water in their periphery. They've got them, but there are people who don't have water. And it's the issue of bulk and circulation We just need to sort out that. So problems are there. Nakamujiri, they've got bloatedness of stuff. So they've got bowel. So we were monitoring them on a monthly basis to know what we were doing for Mubani. In their case, it doesn't work. Because they just submit urine test to pay salaries. So we requested through the NEC, who came to the treasury to request support, and said something the NEC was the NEC for finance and NEC for COCTA. So she came. So the treasury has requested that through, because they are under 1391B, they deal with the stuff. The explicit way of putting it is to cut the staff complement. There's, I don't know how to say this politics, because I could be in trouble, but there's problems that is linked with how the people are. And we are told that some of people don't work, they just come to work. So we've requested, which is outside our mandate, we manage all the money, we've requested that they find a way to deal with the staff locatedness, because unfortunately, if it persists, there's nothing that we can do in terms of finance to resolve the problem. Question number... Well, everyone who left the ministry came with it. And when they left, those people were obviously permanent. And so... Okay, and question number 13. Which province are not coming to the party? Okay, that's a bit of a difficult question. I think let me put it the other way, in a nicer way. And I'm starting with Northwest. There was a time 2 years ago where we went to Northwest and we didn't find anyone. Currently, as we speak, we don't take calls from municipalities in Northwest if they don't go via the provincial treasurer. There's a good team that has been established. Things are resolved. Very recently, Western Cape walked out in our rollover session, where Western Cape cocked us, because I was not approving rollovers that they linked to CFOs and stuff. So sometimes our sessions get very heated, because their role as provinces is to advocate for them as well. But we always say don't compromise at all. So, and they walked out, but we continued nevertheless with the provincial treasurer. And so we have those dynamics. So it's a mixed bag. But the problem that is on top of things is the Eastern Cape. They have 2 days going through rollovers. When we go there, they are done, and they just want us to approve what they've been going through. Then they'll have about 10 to 15 municipalities that are basket-based, and they request our support. And unfortunately, some of the things we can assist. But, yeah, if I can put it this way, that way. I don't know to talk about others. Number 14, inability to verify projects. That are on the ground. It's a bit of a challenge where we're sitting. I think it's safe to say that we rely on the support by COCTA, and sometimes it's a bit unfair to use COCTA chairperson, because COCTA is not a functional department, it's a coordinating department. They need to, unfortunately, be coordinating water, electricity department, energy department, and transport, and so on and so forth. So it takes a bit of doing from their side to get buy-in. For example, projects that are water-driven are registered and approved by Water Affairs, but they are submitted to COCTA, and COCTA sends it to Water Affairs for all the process. So that can hence we need 8 months to plan. Question number 15, it was talking about integrated approach. I spoke about it where I indicated that you can't be having both salary, COFA and 100% talking about finances. Someone needs to drill into the issues and tell us what is project C dealing with. In the Eastern Cape, we've got VIP toilets. The issue is mainly out there. And I was taken to those toilets and I saw toilets. Then only the water affairs person said, no, these are wrong toilets. In fact, they're going to fall within 4 months. And I think that's what happened some of them. Because of the landscape where they were built, studying and all that. I think the issue of figures having to exclude metros, if it covered, if I meant all metros in province, apologies for that, yes, all 8 metros are in the are in the USDG, or they are excluded from the NIC. Let's talk about Nelson Mandela, Buffalo City, Mahigwini, Mangaung, and three metros in housing. The issue of section 139(1)(b), if it happens flow of wet, it goes back to the culture issue. The issue of government going to support municipalities has not been done in such a way that it leaves legacy behind. As they walk out, the municipality resorts to the old problems. We need to find a way to say if you're going to support, your performance agreement must be linked to your succession plan, not how you deliver at the time. Because they do good, but remember that when, if you send a chief director to a municipality from COCTA, that person gets paid by COCTA to do the work. And because he's from COCTA, he almost gets preferential support in my own operation to do the work. Maybe we need to, as we send them over, we need to get them to give us a friend of how to resolve. Because as they walk away, when they go back to their offices, that preferential goes out of the way. So we need to think to say how do we then continue. I think the other issue really, it was a comment, Northwest's role in terms of how they get out of their problems, like Amudiri and all that. Thank you, I think that was my last one. Just thanks for the answer. So I just do to perhaps simplify what I was asking. And the inner municipality, the first part is the answer. The second part of that inner municipality where there is the part of what needs to be done as a turnaround strategy of that municipality, which is under the intervention, is the utilization of the big fund. Obviously, treasury would have stopped as a result of the collapse. But now, what I'm asking to is that if then there is a team, there's that intervention in 6 months, and there's a turnaround strategy, and there's a team that is put in place. In Magana, for instance, they bring a consultancy. In other municipalities, they bring chief director, as Mr. Mashama is saying, or anybody else, the support team or technical team, to do that. Do they release the grants if they satisfy the requirements? Or is it because this thing is just temporary, it's an intervention, it's 6 months, so we can't. There's nothing that convinces that you will do this thing within 6 months. So what is the aim to share?
Okay, thanks.
No, thanks for clarifying that. Indeed, we will deal with municipality friends, and in most cases it includes additional money. We've done it with Albright, we've done it with Nelson Mandela, we've given them additional money. With regard to Makambiri, we did precise that, but money was not the problem because we suspended the entire ad spending and say this decision is suspended so that it can go and work. The money still got used by the staff complaint. So we will look into cash flow arrangement of the municipality. In Mubani, they didn't have money to pay for forensic services, and we assisted them with regard to that. We went and had hunted for a CFO at that point in time, and assisted them. Therefore, different, just on basically we will do that. The grant is a constitutional entitlement. They need to get their funding. Like I indicated in my presentation to say, even if we stop money as a result of misuse or underperformance, when that municipality is ready, we need to bring back all their money because the problem would have not been resolved. And this will happen by saying to those that are not spending a particular time to say, you need to, we are going to take money from you and give back the municipalities that were affected. But in a particular point in time, we will require what we will need to look into what is required. Provinces are allowed to, in terms of the Act, again, Section 38, they are allowed to allocate funding to municipalities. The problem with provinces, Chairperson, is that they've been doing it in a bailout session. And this is the part that doesn't support. So it's not sustainable. But we do support in the general.
No, thank you very much. From your team, any area that requires emphasis? Okay. No, thank you very much for this response, Mr. Majaba, and thank for the treasury delegation. So, honorable members, I think all of us agree that this is a very useful report that we must use for our oversight work. And I think it is quite clear that our committee has got greater challenges. We need to upscale our oversight work. Some of the issues that are raised here by Treasury confirms what we saw on our oversight in KZN, some instances, couple of projects that we see there. And this has given context, a very good explanation on why such areas of declaring challenges in terms of failure to execute a project, chronic problem of planning that is that cuts across provinces in areas where MIG fund is not utilized for the residency's metal. So clearly, there are issues where we need to really deal with the provisions of the Act and then ensure that we deal with the challenges that I mentioned. I tend to remember how failure to report as well by municipal officials in many instances, of course, deal with the relevant political authorities, because we to deal with all these issues. Ensure that if MNC funds are spent appropriately, what they are meant for, they must address the backlog that exists. MIG funds should not utilize for administrative purposes. They should really support municipalities in terms of responding to this backlog. So, there are areas I think our committee will have to take forward. There's a need for our committee to interact with monitoring and evaluation department. There's also a need for us to have a very much thorough discussions where we from, what is it, Chief Procurement Office, yeah, Chief Procurement Office, obviously that relates directly to our procurement forms, some specific areas that as we interact with provinces, there should be clarity in terms of these areas of work. I'm raising the issue of monitoring and evaluation in terms of coordination across spheres of government, which is very central in our work.
local government, municipalities, provinces, national, in terms of the execution of these projects. So they are very inconsistent or problems that arise. I think we may as well want to listen to municipal infrastructure support agency at the given time to deal with these areas. The kind of support, it's so sad that some of these problems they are carrying. At some point, we find a way of dealing with these challenges, but then there are the collapse of this institutional capacity to consistently deliver, because we need to build stronger institutional capacity to deliver these projects. It should be a really exception where there are failures in terms of construction projects, not the norm. So we will deal with these issues. Thanks very much. Once more, and what is it on the agenda again? Do we deal with minutes? Okay, my remarks therefore conclude the meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay.